Hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am, as ever, your host, David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Well, here I am back from Croatia, and what a great time we had. I'd like to thank all those at the Eco Centre for their support and good humour. What did we find? Well, a bronze dagger was handed in that had been found in 2004. However, we did find lots and lots of, yes, you guessed it, walls. And believe it or not, we actually are now starting to understand more and more of the layout and the social organisation which created this unique landscape in Tramontana. My favourite moment among many was the finding out of a church dedicated to Peter, or St. Peter, Sveti Peter, to be precise, which is also known as Peter of the Fist because of the fights that took place at this place once a year at a market held on Midsummer's Day. God love them. Anyway, back to the serious business of archaeology news, and the main headlines from around the world are as follows. We start in Vietnam, where ancient copper furnaces have been unearthed, and then we look at a site where the ancient Macedonians studied the sun and moon. Baffling mystery at a site in China where human sacrifices have been discovered at a Bronze Age city. Sophisticated prehistoric astronomers in Scotland? Well, you decide in this report from Kilmartin Glen. Next, we head over to the Americas at an Azoque pyramid burial, which could be the oldest in Mexico. And staying in Mexico, the tracks in an ancient ash field are not human footprints, a new study shows. A window onto the past is opened at an Iron Age site in England as it yields bones of a pregnant woman. There's news of a new science project on the historical heritage of the Pyrenees, and continuing a report on the Drogheda deepwater port in Ireland, the prehistoric Irish tombs are given a reprieve as the development is put on hold. Finally, extinctions are linked to climate change. Well, let's hope it's not too final and we get to the end of this news. Ancient copper furnaces recently unearthed at an archaeological site in Dong An in the north of Hanoi in Vietnam have shed important light on the bronze casting workshop, with dozens of furnaces found during seven excavations since 1971. Most of the furnaces, which are believed to be about 4,000 years old, were aligned along a northwest-southeast axis and spaced evenly apart in order to catch the wind. They are also all of a similar design. Professor Khan, who worked on the site in 1988, said that the people of the Dong Son civilization of 2000 BCE to 200 CE lived around two large hills that have long since eroded. Archaeologists said that they found an earthwork belonging to the Go Mun, that's 2.5 to 2000 BCE, and the Dong Son civilizations. Experts believe the site was within the defensive fortification of the Lao Than citadel. Again, apologies for my appalling pronunciations in advance. Kokino, in the mountains near Kumanova in Macedonia, is a 4,000-year-old megalithic observatory found in 2001 by local archaeologist Jovika Stankovski. The site is at an altitude of more than 1,000 metres and has a diameter of more than 100. Research showed that the observatory had a specific place for monitoring the stars and the sun, as well as specific holes through which the movement of the sun and the moon could be recorded. According to physicist Gyore Kenev, the ancient observatory worked by using special stone markers to map the movement of the sun and moon on the eastern horizon. With parts of the observatory well preserved, it's still possible to mark the position of the sun during the summer solstice. Kenev, who has carried out detailed analysis of the site, wrote in a paper on the subject, "The observatory defines the four main positions of the moon and the three main positions of the sun during a year, the autumnal and vernal equinox and the winter and summer solstice." There are theories that the Kokino megalithic observatory was part of a larger system after a network of 10 temples was discovered nearby. Stone carvings and figurines have also been discovered, and if Kokino is identified as an ancient civilization, then it could be the oldest known in the Balkans. A team of researchers excavating a 3,300-year-old Shang Dynasty palace temple complex at the ancient city of Huanbei in China have discovered that it was burned down after only 50 years of use by the city's own rulers. The complex was stripped of all its goods before being destroyed, but a large number of human sacrifices were left behind, with 40 discovered in one building alone. Professor Ji Chung-jing of the University of British Columbia has been working with colleagues in China to excavate and study Huanbei. The palace temple complex was at the centre of the city and would have had a population of at least 10,000 people. The city was planned in accordance with Shang cosmology, with all buildings orientated at 13 degrees east. This is seen at all other Shang sites, and researchers are hoping to decipher the exact meaning of this orientation. The complex itself, which would have served as both a temple and a palace, contains at least 60 buildings. In the largest of these, and this is the largest Bronze Age building ever found in China, a number of sacrificial pits were discovered containing sacrificial skeletons. A layer of red earth covers the buildings, and the team has concluded that the whole city was destroyed by a single fire. The lack of bodies or evidence of a battle suggests that the city may have been torched by its own rulers rather than invaders, a theory supported by the fact that there are few finds of pottery or other artifacts at the site. It is suggested that the inhabitants took everything with them before setting the city alight. The whole city was then abandoned, and another city, Yingzhou, was founded on the other side of the river. However, the inhabitants left behind a particularly large number of human sacrifices, with at least 40 in the largest building. Human sacrifice was not unusual during the Shang dynasty, and most medium to large sized tombs of this time contain human sacrifice. Strontium analysis shows that the people were local and not war captives, as was often the case. Even though only a small portion of the site had been excavated, Huanbei, along with Yingzhou, had been named as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, a designation that will help protect it from modern development. And now, returning to Scotland, where I'm slightly more comfortable with the pronunciations, Douglas Scott has recently confirmed the complexity and sophistication of the astronomical observations that could be made from megalithic constructions at Temple Wood and Nether Largy Complex in Kilmartin Glen in Argyll, Scotland. Temple Wood is a site of two adjacent stone circles dating to the 4th millennium or possibly the early Bronze Age. Radiocarbon dating indicates that the southern circle was used for burial in the mid to late Bronze Age. Three stones of the southern circle are carved with different symbols, including cup marks, a double spiral, and concentric circles. The centre of the two circles forms a northeast and southwest axis, along which the southern circle's burials are aligned. 300 metres southeast of Temple Wood, and probably broadly contemporary with it, lie the standing stones of Nether Largy, two pairs of stones 35 metres northeast and southwest of a central stone, forming an X-shape or rectangular setting, and all but two of the stones have cup marks. One stone, known as S1, also has cups with ring marks as well as cup marks connected by other grooves to its southwest side. Scott reviewed the work of previous scholars who have tried to identify astronomical use of the complex and also surveyed the sight lines and made his own direct observations during the major lunar standstill of 2006 and 7. He noted that major solar and lunar events seemed significant at the site, with the lunar events being more connected with Nether Largy. From the northern circle, the midwinter sunset could have been visible in line with the southern circle, possibly symbolised by the concentric rings and double spirals on the stone. There would have also been an alignment of the winter solstice sunrise in the northern circle, visible from the southern circle, and a midwinter sunrise marked by an alignment of the two Nether Largy stones. Scott points out that these alignments are very similar to others found in Scottish sites in Mull and Argyll, and doubts that they could be haphazard or derived from single observations. Rather, he suggests that the complexity of the solar and lunar observations used in combination suggest an equally complex context of commemoration or prediction, and that the association of standing stones with carved symbols and burials and alignments may indicate some connection with ancestors in the spirit world. The Temple Wood and Nether Largy complex demonstrate alignments of astronomical significance that are the most sophisticated so far claimed in Scotland. Well, I can actually agree with that, having actually just come back from there. If you ever do get a chance to get to the Kilmartin Glen complex, please don't pass it up. There's a fabulous museum there and a rather nice bar to relax, shall we say, at the end of the day. A team of archaeologists led by Bruce Bachand and of Brigham Young University have excavated what may be the oldest pyramid burial in Mesoamerica at Chapa de Corza in southern Mexico. According to the archaeologist Emiliano Galaga, the tomb dates to between 700 and 500 BCE. And maybe one of the earliest discoveries of the use of a pyramid as a tomb, not only as a religious site or temple. Their investigation began in April this year and with a study of an internal structure of a three-story pyramid, which were often built in layers over earlier constructions. While excavating, they noticed finished stones facing inwards, and soon after uncovered a 4-metre by 3-metre tomb some 7 metres below the top of the pyramid. In this tomb, they found a body of a man aged around 50, dressed in a pearl beaded loincloth, and a female of similar age, whose bodies were covered with sacred red pigment. The male wore a funeral mask with obsidian eyes, and they were buried with jade and amber collars, jade beads in the shape of howler monkeys, crocodiles and gourds, and other ornaments. Around the bodies, there were offerings including ceramics, ritual axes, iron parietes, mirrors, and a red-painted stucco mask. Some of the objects were imported from as far away as Guatemala and central Mexico, while some of the ceramics show Olmec influence. Accompanying these burials were two other bodies, apparently human sacrifice. The body of a 1-year-old child was placed carefully over the body of the male, while that of a 20-year-old male was perhaps thrown in, resulting in the awkward posture against the wall of the tomb, with one arm positioned over the head. The burial in the Xokwe culture area has aroused speculation as to how it fits into the wider pattern of cultural influence in Mesoamerica. Chiapas is also home to a more famous Maya pyramid burial, that of the ruler Pakal at Palenque, some 1,000 years later than the new discovery at Chapa de Corza. However, despite the location, the connection, if any, between the Olmec, the Maya and the Xokwe remains unclear. But it's suggested it may well be that the Xokwe culture was an influence on the Maya and other Mesoamerican cultures. You have to ask yourself, it's like, why in Croatia were we just finding walls and they're going finding funeral masks? It's just not fair. Not that I'm complaining, I have to say. In 2005, a team led by Sylvia Gonzalez from John Moores University in Liverpool in England announced that they had found human footprints in a dry lake bed in Mexico and that the ash had been dated with optically stimulated luminescence to 40,000 BP. The hundreds of impressions in the ash of Velezquilo Lake included adults and children as well as cats, dogs, birds and other large mammals. The scientists concluded that the people and animals had been trying to escape from an eruption of the nearby Querétaro volcano. The find was extraordinary because the prevailing theory was that the humans arrived in the Americas approximately 14,000 BP. This date was based upon artifacts of the Clovis people found throughout the American Southwest, Clovis, New Mexico. It's thought that these early immigrants came from Asia and walked over a land bridge across the Bering Straits to North America. According to a new statement issued by the Royal Society announcing the Mexico find, accounting for the origin of these footprints would require a complete rethink on the timing, route and origin of the first colonization of the Americas. Since modern humans are believed to have left Africa only 60,000 years ago, it would have been a very remarkable thing for them to have crossed Asia and reached the Americas in a brief 20,000 years. In December 2005, an article in the journal Nature, written by Paul Rennie, a geochronologist from the University of California in Berkeley, disputed the findings of Gonzalez's team. Using argon dating, Rennie established the age of the ash to be 1.3 million years BP. Modern humans evolved approximately 200,000 years ago, so they could not have left the footprints in the ash if René's date was correct. René's article also questioned the identification of the tracks as footprints. He noted, "I've seen them and they really don't have the left and right pattern of footsteps. They only look like tracks if you see them in the right light." He proposed that the impressions were more likely modern quarry marks or the result of recent foot traffic. The debate continued for some time with new dating results published supporting one side or the other, but now Gonzalez has co-authored a paper with Darren Mark in the Journal of Human Evolution where she concedes that the argon date is most likely correct and that the tracks are not evidence of very early human habitation of the Americas. The article states, Dr. Gonzalez and colleagues from the Liverpool John Moores University have accepted that the age of the ash is approximately 1.3 million years. Considering what we know about the timings of hominid migrations out of Africa up into Europe and Asia, it's highly improbable that the hominids could have made it to Americas by 1.3 million years before present. This back and forth debate is normal exchange in science. Science makes discoveries, propose theories and publish data. Wrong answers and errors are necessary to process and to further progress the pursuit of knowledge. Disproving the dates of the Vasquelo Lake tracks does not prove that humans arrived in the Americas only 14,000 years ago. It's also worth remembering, absence of proof is not proof of absence, and I'm sure within the near future there will be much more debate and controversy surrounding the peopling of Americas. You betcha. An excavation at the ancient Finn Kop Hill Fort in the Peak District National Park in Derbyshire in England has unearthed bones of a pregnant woman who was 21 to 30 years of age when she died. Her approximately 2,000-year-old skeleton was found under a collapsed rampart. It appears that she was thrown into a ditch as the stone wall of the fort was being breached. The original purpose of the excavation was to determine how and when the ramparts were built, and scientists were surprised to find the female in such a military site. A grant of £50,000 has been awarded to the Longstone Local History Group to do further study in the area, with the assistance of Archaeological Research Services Limited. Jim Brightman, a project manager at the dig, commented on the importance of examining remains and artefacts in the laboratory to fill in the important details. As many important finds don't look like much on site, but when you return to the lab, throw in the scientific techniques and analysis at them, that's when the story is teased out. Well, it's teased out some of the story, but what a question as well in exactly what happened to this woman. The Pyrenees Work Community in Spain aims to strengthen the economic and social integration of the cross-border area between Spain, Andorra and France at a total cost of €2.5 million. Six member Spanish and French institutions have donated 35% of the fund and are working jointly to put into action the Origins Route, a scientific dissemination project to develop a quality sustainable model for tourism in the Pyrenees. The remaining 65% of the project funding was provided by the European Regional Development Fund. The initiative comprises a set of activities to inform society about the origin of the Pyrenees, promoting an innovative and experimental model of tourism, respectful of the environment and at the same time valuing the natural, historical and scientific heritage of the Pyrenees. The Origins Route project member institutions propose to create the basic elements needed for pathways through the Pyrenees Mountains, which offers visitors different itineraries to help them discover and understand many of the questions formulated today by scientists concerned with the first inhabitants of the region. Each stage of the itinerary will focus on a specific period. The full route will offer a global vision of the origins of the Pyrenees region. Proposed activities will allow participants to experience different situations, such as paleontological and archaeological digs, sky watching, or studying the mountain's biodiversity. The project will also include a travelling exhibition, which will last for approximately 10 years. The Universitat Autònoma de Barcelona will be in charge of the museumification of the prehistoric archaeological site, Roca del Bus, where the CEPAP researchers have been studying the origins and evolution of the Neanderthals in the Eastern Pyrenees. Known as Arcotec, this project will be the first to use innovative information and communication technologies to display the project's archaeological findings. The dig site and its surroundings will be prepared for visiting school groups and the public in general and will include wireless connections to complement the on-site visits and interactive itineraries. The facilities are planned for completion by the end of this summer. Well, if they're ready by the end of the summer, I'll tell you what, I'll pop in there actually when I'm on my way back from Croatia later on. I'm talking about Croatia a lot, haven't I? We'll be back in Croatia in October, so I might just pop in and see what this is like. Sounds great. Plans for the development of the Drogheda Deepwater Port in the north of County Dublin in Ireland have been put on hold until planning permission has been given. Drogheda Port, in partnership with Treasury Holdings, will likely be subjected to a strategic environmental assessment, according to the National Trust for Ireland. The National Trust for Ireland has opposed any developments in either area of Bray Mawr or Gormanston, as they would have serious impact on the Neolithic passage tomb complexes found there. A spokesman for Treasury Holdings said that the developers were anxious to avoid the very significant archaeological sites in Bray Mawr and are said to be considering the less sensitive region of Gormanston, although this site is partly deemed a special protection area by the EU. And finally, a group of scientists from the Centre of Macroecology, Evolution and Climate at the University of Copenhagen have found a link between climate change and the extinction of large groups of mammals. Until now, this link could not be successfully proved, as all the data gathered had been at a local or regional basis and individual findings did not cross-relate to each other. But approaching the data from a global perspective, it became more and more apparent that there was a definite link between the extinction of larger mammals and the cooling of the planet. The data was gathered for a period up to 50,000 BCE and charted the decline in mammals up to the full glacial conditions, which existed approximately 20,000 BCE. Then, as the planet started to warm up again, conditions were ripe for the expansion of human population, and this continued the work started by the glacial period, with more mammalian species becoming extinct. By using this larger model, it was possible for the scientists to analyse local data in context more accurately, and it was shown that areas of the globe where the climate change was more pronounced led to a greater number of extinctions, and vice versa, where the temperature change was less pronounced. While climate change is not the only factor behind extinction, past, present or future, we cannot neglect in any way that change, directly or indirectly, is a crucial factor to understand future species extinctions. Well, on that cheery note, don't forget to read the latest issue of Past Horizons if you haven't done so already. It's issue 12. It's packed full of some amazing articles. So head on over to www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. And can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as loads more, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. And I hope you've been following the story of the Sardinian tombs. You'll find a lot more about that on Stonepages and in the Past Horizons magazine. So thank you for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again to us next week.